In this episode, I'm going to share 6 tips you can use to book in more customers simply by the way you talk and communicate over the phone. Now, this is going to be applicable whether you're just getting started or you're already established. You'll probably find a few tips you can use in your business and when you talk to your customers. And if you are just getting started, click the link down below and download the ultimate guide to start your detailing business. There's over 10,000 words of pure content in that guide. Click it, download it, read it, and put it to use. Let's go ahead and get started with this episode. Welcome back to a new podcast episode. We're actually in the middle of the hallway. Why? Well, just because I wanted a new spot. That's why I kind of moved away from the podcast room. And now I just kind of free flow and go wherever I just see fit. So today we are in the middle of the hallway. I just got some posters up from some racetrack we've been at. I have the Nashville Grand Prix from IndyCar. Circuit of the Americas. We've been there quite a few times for F1, for GT, the Fanatec GT Championship. I have rode Atlanta here for Petit Le Mans. And then this month, actually, well, whenever I publish this episode, we'll be in Alabama for the Alabama Grand Prix for IndyCar. So as we go to tracks, I'll buy the poster. That way, you know, it's like kind of just, you know, shows where we've been. So anyways, today we are talking about talking on the phone with potential customers. Now, when it comes to your business is a pipeline, right? So at every phase or every section of the pipeline, you have the opportunity to gain or lose customers, right? So today we're going to specifically focus on talking to the customers, but you know, at every point, at every touch point with your customer, you have the potential. Or, you know, with your potential customers, every touch point is an opportunity to gain a customer or to lose a customer. So with this one, we're talking about specifically talking on the phone. So these are in no specific order, but number one, and we're going to go through around 5 or 6 of them, depending on how long these take. Lex is working out in the background in the gym. So number one here is answer the phone with enthusiasm. Sound like you care and you want to serve your customers. And the easy little trick is smile before you pick up the call. So again, at every touch point, you have an opportunity to either push yourself towards, put yourself in the perspective of the customer of saying, oh yeah, this guy or this gal or this business wants my business and wants to work with me. Or they might think, I don't know, something was a little off about this business, right? So the first the most basic fundamental thing that you can do is answer the phone with enthusiasm. Actually talk like you care and you're generally interested in what the customer is saying. And again, this is when you answer the phone, literally when you pick up and say hello, speak in a professional, enthusiastic way because everyone can hear when someone is talking, and there's no emotion behind it. When they're talking and you can tell if we're calling a bakery shop, right? And, you know, I'm like, Oscar with Oscar Bakery. You can hear how uninterested I am, how I don't care about answering the phone call, about how I don't care who's on the other line, about I don't care. You can hear the emotion is what it's called. Right? You can hear their emotion. So, you know, contrast that to saying, this is Oscar with Oscar's Bakery. How can I help you? Right? Totally different emotion, totally different type of feeling that the potential customer gets on the other side of the phone call that just gives them and gives you an extra point for confidence, right? For enthusiasm, for professionalism. So the bare minimum is answer the phone call with more energy, right? And again, it sounds corny, it sounds funny, but smile before you pick up the call. Try to sound uplifting, enthusiastic, and with energy, without smiling, right? With a straight mundane face, hello, this is Oscar. How can I help you? It's difficult, right? It looks funny. It's not natural. Now, if you pick up before you pick up the phone, you smile and then you speak. It's easier for that energy, for the enthusiasm to flow through you and through the phone call. So it sounds so basic, but think about the businesses that you've called that there's no energy behind it. You can clearly hear the person through the phone that they do not care about answering that phone call. Don't be like that, right? So next point is actively listen to their problems. Don't just let them talk and you dismiss everything they say and you move on to the next point or to the next question, right? Understand where they're coming from, what they want, and how you can best help them. So by actively listening, I mean like actually pay attention to what they're saying. Again, this sounds so basic, but like 9 out of 10 times where we mess up, where we drop the ball are with the basic things, with the fundamentals, with the things we're like, oh, of course I listen to them. And then you really don't, you know? So when they're talking about, yeah, like, you know, the other weekend I just bought my truck. It was a blue color, whatever. And I went to my kid's friend's birthday party, and man, like one of the kids kicked the ball and scratched my side of my car. So I want that fixed, right? And whatever, right? But then you kind of at some point referencing back to the customer, it takes you a step further. Like, oh, they're actually listening, right? So if then at some point you reply, oh man, yeah, sure. I mean, look, I know you probably went there just to have a good time. Then someone kicks the ball to your truck and now you have a scratch. But we can definitely take care of that for you, right? Like if you reference back to what they say, not like every word, but if you reference some key parts that like, yeah, you're actively listening and you understand where they're coming from and you understand what they want done, like you just seem so much more professional that you're actually listening and that you're actually trying to provide a solution to that potential customer. It's very easy to like go into auto mode when you're doing 2, 3, 4, 10 calls a day. And, you know, it's the same script, it's the same questions. And it's very easy for you to just kind of go through the motions. Right. But again, like if it's your fifth call of the day, it's that customer's first call to your business. Right. So if it's the fifth call, the first call, the 14th call, you pick up the phone with the same energy, with the same enthusiasm, with the same professionalism, because you don't know who's on the other side of the phone and you don't know where they are in terms of the buyer's journey. Right. Like, you know, are you talking to a customer that's barely getting information about detailing that might hire someone in the next 3 months? Or are you talking to someone that has done their research that's ready to purchase a $1,500 detail and they're looking for that right detailer to be the one for them, right? You don't know who you're talking to. You don't know in what phase in what part of the journey that they're at, right? So you have to put your best foot forward with every call to make sure, like, hey, if this person wants a book, like, I want to be the right one, you know? So don't just dismiss whatever they say. I'm like, oh yeah, well, so anyways, like, you know, on to my next point, you know, like actively listen, make sure you're paying attention to the small details. You know, like be proactive with the conversation, try to make small, you know, don't go too off track, but to make small talk with them aside from just detailing, like it definitely helps build rapport, right? It helps you build that relationship with that potential customer so that, like, you know, although yes, obviously it's going to be transactional, right? Like, they're calling you to detail their car and they're going to pay you to go perform a service, 100% transactional. But if you can add a bit more of a human connection, if you can build a bit more rapport, that goes a long way. Because again, like, is everyone else trying to build rapport, or is everyone just trying to be 100% transactional in terms of, hey, what are you calling for more? What are you calling me for? Here's what we can do. Yes or no, right? It takes a little bit more effort. I say it is well worth the extra time. Okay, so it's actually pretty hot. I don't think we get this hot. I have the AC down. So number three here is spend as little time you need to cover what the customer wants as far as information. So your conversation doesn't have to be 12 minutes long. When we book customers, our calls are less than 6 minutes. Now, in this way, it's like, I'm not saying that I don't want to speak to my customers or that I don't want to spend time talking to someone. What I'm getting at is we are the professionals, right? We as in like detailers, right? We do 5, 10, 15, 20 calls a day, right? We have walk-ins. We deal with customers in person, right? That already paid us and they're booked with us. By this point, we should know what information we want from the customer and we should know what the customer wants from us, right? So when I say spend as little time, it's like spend as little time because you should be efficient with your conversation at this point. You should know the questions to ask, right? Respect the customer in terms of be more streamlined with your conversation so that instead of taking 12 minutes, the same amount of information is exchanged, right? You booked it, whatever the case may be, but it's done in less than 6 minutes instead of 12 minutes, right? If it, like, for instance, like, and typically the lower the price for the service, the quicker it goes, right? The higher it goes, the more talk, multiple conversations, multiple phone calls, maybe a in-person appointment or something. So like if we're booking in like a whether it's a $200 or $400 detail, that's easily done over the phone. It doesn't take much work. But if you get to the 1200s, the 2400s, the 4500s, it's going to take a bit more time for the most part, just because the customer needs, like, you know, if they're going to pay for a $4,000 PPF job, well, then, you know, they might want to come, we want them to come in person. Let's look at the vehicle, kind of go over the options, show them exactly what's going to get covered, show them what a PPF film is. So the sales cycle is a bit longer, the higher the value of the service goes. But even then, you know, like, you want to keep the conversations as simple and short as you can, because you're the professional and you're the one that's steering the ship. You're the one that's steering the conversation. So if you have the necessary information to give the customer a quote or a price or to book them in, like, that's on you, right? Like, you don't need to go and ask 20 different questions and go down this rabbit hole and ask all these weird questions and do this and do that. Like, once you understand your system and you know what questions you need to ask, your conversations should be very, very, not very short, but like, they need to be like probably with less than 5 minutes. And that's booking in the customer. Again, if you're selling again, like, it, maybe if the customer is asking for more very specific things of like, hey, I have orange peel and, you know, I want to get it all removed. Yeah, that's going to be a different process than if someone's asking for an interior cleaning, right? So, but the goal should be lessen the time, for sure. Like, spend less time. Like, not out of like, I don't want to talk to the customer. It's more so of like, have respect for their time, better manage your time, and just be able to exchange what the customer needs in terms of information in a shorter amount of time. Okay, so that is number three. Let's go to, I'm actually sweating right now. Let's go to number four here. This one, well, all of these. This one's very important as well, is be confident when you price your services. Don't be shy or nervous to say you charge, let's say, for, you know, $320. Don't be shy or nervous or scared to say you charge $320 for the detail. And the reason being is it's just a confidence thing, right? Like, if you call a business and you ask them, hey, how much would it be to, I don't know, cut my lawn? And, you know, one business says, we do, you know, $40 a week. And, you know, we do 40 hours per cut, and we require a 2-cut minimum per month, right? And again, they tell you very confidently, they tell you, hey, that's the plan we have. That's the most entry-level plan. Whereas if you talk to another landscaper or mower, however you want to call them, and they say, oh, well, you know, what area do you live in? Oh, okay, I think we can do that for like 25-ish, maybe, you know, 25. How many times do you want to do that per month? Just once a month? Okay, yeah, we can do that for like $25 a month. Again, made up example. I have no idea what the price or how they talk. Disregard that. But you see, the confidence is very different when someone says, oh, yes, our minimum package plan is $40 per cut, and the minimum is twice a month, right? Versus someone that says, oh, well, how many times do you want? Once a month? Okay, we can do it for about like $25. I think, yeah, $25 should be good. You know, drastically different in terms of confidence. When you say it in a nervous manner, when you say it without confidence, the customer can also note that, like, does he typically charge this price, or is he charging me a little higher than usual, or like, is something wrong with his pricing? Because the way he said $320 sounded so wrong. Like, you know, so like, now you're making the customer question themselves of like, why did he say it like that? Like, does he not normally charge this rate? Is there something wrong? Did I say something? You know, did I clarify what I really wanted, right? But if you go in there with confidence, say, okay, yes, sure thing, Bob. For those two services right there on your vehicle, it'll be $320 and take around 5 hours to complete. Does that work for you? That's very different than saying, okay, well, so for those two services, let's see, the interior, okay, that'd be like $120, and the exterior, okay, so I think we could do it all for like $300 maybe. You know, it sounds completely different, right? Whether you think you're overcharging or whether you think you're undercharging, say it with confidence, right? Like, either way, say it with confidence. Oh, I think I'm, you know, if you're thinking to yourself, oh man, I think I'm going to price this kind of low because, you know, whatever. Okay, well, say it with confidence. Ooh, I'm with this amount of, you know, let's say on the other hand, man, this is a lot of work, and I've done this truck, you know, a few months ago, and that customer was really took me a long time. So, man, I want to say, you know, $1,000, but you know, that might be too expensive. Let's say like you're thinking all this in your head. So when it comes time to tell the customer, I mean, you think it's too expensive. You think you're overcharging. We say, yes, sir, for that service, it'll be $1,000 and take about 2 days to complete. Does that work for you? Right? Like saying it with confidence makes a big difference with the customer. And look, whether they have questions or, I mean, they're going to have questions, obviously. But when you say it with confidence, it puts everything on a better playing field for yourself, right? Like you're not questioning your pricing. You're not questioning like, hey, I'm the professional. You're calling me. I can get that job done for $400. I'm just making up numbers. For $400, would you like to do it, right? And if they have questions, you answer them with confidence, right? Like a big part is it's not about like claiming that you're the best detailer. You have to, it just, you're talking to another human. And when you're talking to them, you want to present yourself as the authority, as a professional, as the person that knows what they're doing. And again, it sounds super basic. Trust me, it sounds super fundamental, but just talk with confidence. Price, whether you're giving a quote, and this is applicable to anything that you're saying. Whether that means that they have to pay a deposit, whether that means that they have to drop off the vehicle at your house, whether that means you're booked out 2 months in advance and they have to wait that long, whatever it is, like you say it with confidence because it sounds so much more professional and it shows that, oh, this person knows what he's doing, right? When you don't bat an eye to say, oh, hey, Bob, sorry about that, but you know, right now we're booked out 3 weeks in advance, but we can definitely put you on the schedule. It'll be $400 to complete that job and take about half a day. Would you like to schedule it in right now? Right? Saying that with confidence, right? They got to wait 3 weeks, right? It's going to take half a day. It's going to, whatever I said, it's going to be $300 or $400, right? With confidence, it sounds a lot different than when you say it without confidence, right? And again, and this is applicable to anything that you say, anything that you do, whether you're talking to the customer in person, whether it's over phone, whether it's whatever, you say it with confidence. That way you always are in position of the authority, of the professional. And another thing too is that never disagree with what they're saying, right? Like you always want to be on their side. Doesn't mean you agree with them or that they're correct, but you never want to disagree with them, right? There's a little bit of a difference there. Because if someone tells you, like for instance, I forgot where I heard this, but the simple rule is don't say yes, but say yes and, right? So if you're talking to a customer or a potential customer and you say, hey, it'll be $400 for that detail. And they're like, oh, that's expensive, right? And if you respond with, yes, but the reason why we're expensive is because we do a good job, right? Now you're kind of like counteracting their point, right? Now you're kind of like not debating, but now you're kind of negotiating like, yes, we are expensive, but it's because, you know, X, Y, Z. Whereas if you, with that one, you're disagreeing with them, right? Yes, but... Right. But let me counter your point. And the reason why we're expensive, right? You're going against them. But if you say yes, and meaning I agree with you and let me tell you why, it's totally different. Right. So, you know, instead of saying, oh, yes, but that's because we use the best tools and products. Right. Never say that. But, you know, you get the point. Whereas if you say, oh, yes, we are expensive, and that's because we make sure whatever, whatever, right? You never want to be against what they say, right? So if they say, oh, man, you know, a big one is either going to be time or money. Depending on your situation, where you live, what you do, it might be the distance that you are, meaning like you might be 30 minutes away from, like if you have a shop and they're 30 minutes away, they don't want to drive 30 minutes. But the biggest one is going to be price. Like flat out, it's going to be price. So if they say, oh man, that's pretty expensive. Say, yes, sir, that is expensive. That's because yada, yada, yada. You go into like your benefits of why you're expensive or what you do or whatever, whatever. So, but don't disagree with them, especially, and this is not really for potential customers, but if there is a dilemma with the customer, if there is something that the customer is upset about, if there's something that they don't agree with, there's something that like there's a little bit of an issue somewhere, you definitely don't want to disagree with them there, right? Again, I'm not saying you agree with them and you're saying they're correct. You're just not disagreeing with them to not escalate the situation even further in a bad way, right? So if they say, oh man, like I didn't see that scratch there when I first got here and now it's there. It's like, oh man, yeah, you're right. There's a scratch there. It's very easy to get defensive because you don't want your business to be blamed, right? Like maybe, you know, and maybe there's like multiple scratches around the vehicle and you're like, come on, bro, I know that wasn't me. And let's say like in your head, like even if it was me, there's like 10 other scratches all around your vehicle. Like, why are you just picking at that one, right? But you can't disagree with them because it only escalates the situation even more, right? So not that you agree or you're saying they're correct. You're just saying, hey, I acknowledge you. Like, oh, man, like, what was it? The example I gave? Oh, scratch. It's like, oh, man, there's a scratch there. Did you see that beforehand? Right? Like, again, nothing crazy. But don't immediately put up a wall in front of you and be like, oh, hey, no, that wasn't me. Right? Like, don't immediately say, oh, no, hey, no, that was already there. Because it's just going to make the situation worse, right? So let me see what my notes here. So never disagree. Always be on their side and come up with a new resolution or a new whatever, right? And, but I'm sticking this primarily towards when you're talking on the phone. Because I remember like a few times where like I do disagree with them. And you can hear the tone change in the conversation to where you're no longer talking about the price or the services, but now like, you know, the potential customer is talking about like why we're expensive, and then we're counteracting those points with like why we're not. And then you can feel the slight tension changing, and it's like, hey, like, you know, now you're just kind of pissing me off. Like, let's say the customers or the potential customers thinking that, and you're like, oh, hey, now you're kind of pissing me off, and you know, you are being expensive, and I can go down the street actually and find something way cheaper, right? Like, you don't want it to get to that point with anyone, right? Like, whether they're gonna book with you, like, you just don't need it to get to that point, right? So make sure that you're not disagreeing with them, but you know, again, you're not agreeing, you're not saying they're correct, but you're just on their side and you're moving to a better solution. Hopefully that made myself clear. Number five here is, and it's kind of, I already touched on this point a little bit, which is you are in control of the conversation. You should know what questions to ask, what information you and the customer need, and you need to make sure everyone is on the same page. And obviously when you're first getting started, you know, you're going to go through a learning curve because you're just not talking to customers. You're just not understanding what they want, what they need, what questions you need. And as you as kind of progress through your business and you work with more customers and you go through more situations, you'll kind of get a better understanding of, oh, okay, you know, I asked this, but they thought it was that. And when I got there, I actually needed that and they actually weren't there. So when, you know, so like over time you get more data points and you have a better understanding of what you need to do because like, you know, And most of this comes from the mistakes, right? Like the mistakes of like, oh, like, you know, the customer said they weren't going to be there, but they were going to leave the car there. They left the car there, but I forgot to tell them and they forgot to like mention it that they should leave their keys there so I can either open the doors or the alarm doesn't keep on going off or so I can move the vehicle if needed or whatever, right? So like small things like that is what you kind of build up over time as you, you know, gain more experience. But even so, like you are the one in control of the conversation. So if they are gonna leave and just, you know, you're gonna arrive to the job site, to their home location, well, you know what? Make sure that, hey, are you gonna leave the key somewhere? Hey, you know, can you leave the key fob under the tire? Hey, I'll get there at 9:30. And you know, you can leave the or let me know where the keys are at. You know, if it's like if they're not gonna be there, hey. You know, how are they going to pay you? Are they going to pay before? Are they going to leave cash? Are you going to send them an invoice before you leave? Like, what's the way that they're going to get paid, that you're going to get paid? All these things you are in control of, right? The customer is there just for the ride because they're with you, right? Like, if they're looking at you for guidance, well, then you're the one supposed to tell them every step of the process, right? Like, your customer should never be like, so what's next? Right? Like, they should know every next step that's going to happen. Right. And that leads into like the customer experience part of things, right? Of like, if a customer is ever like, oh, well, I, you know, I'm not sure what's next. They just said they'd be here at 9 a.m. That's already bad, right? They should know, depends on the service, but they should know what services they're going to get. I guess at a minimum, the general price point they're going to pay. They should know how long it's going to take. They should know the results that they're going to get. They should know when they're going to get paid. They should know, you know, like all these things the customer should know. If a customer is ever at one point saying, you know, I don't know what time they're supposed to be done. Like, I thought it would be by 1, but like, you know, it's 12:30 and it looks like they're still kind of working on things. They should know what time you're going to be done, right? If it's going to take longer, well, let them know it's going to take longer. If you're going to be late, well, hey, you know you're going to be late. Let the customer know you're going to be late. You know, if you're mobile detailing, right? You know what information you need from the customer. Is it, you know, you need the address, their phone number, their email address, their name, the vehicle info, right? But then if you realize that it's a department location, or not even, like, let's say they give you the address, well, is it a home location, apartment, condos? Is it at their work location, right? Like, that's a question you need to clarify. And then if they tell you, oh, yeah, it's a whatever, it actually doesn't matter if it's a home, apartment, or condo. Then you have to ask, oh, is there a gate code that I need to know to enter the property or the neighborhood, right? That's another question that's up to you, not to the customer, right? Because the customer, they're just following your guidance. They're following your instructions. But you're the one that's supposed to make sure that you have all the necessary information because you're the one that does this every single day. You're the professional. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're supposed to know if you need a gate code somewhere. It's a simple ask. So last one here, which is also very important. These are all very important. Number six here is do not spend time trying to convince someone that doesn't care about your services to book as a customer. So even though we went all through all these points, and again, this comes with experience. This comes with getting more data points. This comes with talking to more people. If you feel that someone isn't the right fit for you, and they're haggling you on price, or they're like, oh man, why do you got to do that? And are you using special chemicals? And why is it so expensive? And well, why does it got to be like that? And why can't you do this? And what if you do that, right? And they're like that. You don't need to book that person, right? It doesn't matter what you say, how you present it, what deal you get them, give them. What are you trying to include? What the results you're going to get them? They're probably not going to be the right fit. So don't. The thing I've been saying recently is it's 10 times easier to grow your business when you work with the right type of customers, but it's 100 times harder to grow your business when you work with the wrong type of customer. So even if you pick up the phone with enthusiasm and you sound professional and you're controlling the conversation and you're asking all the right questions and you're actively listening to their problems and you're offering solutions and you're not disagreeing with them. But if that person on the other side of the phone is not the right fit for you, you don't need to book that customer in, because you'll save more time, more headache, more hassle by not booking that customer in than trying to claw your way through all their problems and trying to book them into your calendar, right? You'll get 10 times more problems, 100 times more problems dealing with the wrong type of customer than booking in the right kind of customer. So again, it comes with experience. It comes with just getting more reps under your belt in terms of talking to customers and booking customers and dealing with customers. But when you get that red flag of like, okay, I don't think this is the right person, don't push it. No, okay, this probably isn't the right fit for us. Just don't book them, right? Don't fight an uphill battle. It's a lose-lose situation for you. Like, you double lose. The customer probably wins. You double lose. Like, it's not a lose them and lose you. You take two L's. It's not a fun experience. So we are approaching 30 minutes. I'll go ahead and end the episode right there. If you have anything else you'd like to add in the comment section, do that so down below. I'll talk to you on the next one.